Hey guys, I'm Patrick, and today I want to talk to you about the almost 3 years that we've had solar power in our house, what our experience has been like, and what it's like here in the Midwest. What do you do when it snows and it covers your panels, and how do you clean them off? Going from when I started out dabbling with small solar panels and batteries to a more comprehensive solution like the Tesla Power Walls, and how that works for our overall house, as well as the motivations people have for looking into solar power. Whether it's cleaner energy, power and outage protection and battery storage, or just trying to reduce your electric bill or possibly go completely off the grid. It's a lot of motivations, a lot of reasons, but as you know, if you've looked into it at all, it can be an extremely expensive investment in the home, but there's ways to get some of that back with tax incentives and I think that I'll talk about. So let's go ahead and dive in and I'll share all the numbers from the over 2 years that we have now with solar in our house. So if you're like me and you've ever thought about solar power on your house or when you've seen it out and about when you're traveling or you've seen power walls in person before, whether they're at the Tesla store or just, you know, at a friend's house, and you've wondered about what all goes into it and you became more interested, your story is very much like mine. Years ago when we bought this house, we redid a lot of it, and over those 7 or 8 years, we were having a lot of power outages. And my friends also had gotten me into some electric yard tools, eco-branded yard tools. And at first, when they first talked about those tools, I was very skeptical about how great electric could be. I grew up on a small farm, and knowing the type of power you can have in some of that equipment compared to electric, I was very doubtful. But those tools have been great. And that just led me into looking into more and more of the electric lifestyle and looking down that road. And it turned into me buying a few small 100-watt solar panels and connecting that to a battery. I wouldn't recommend this for anybody who's not an electrician, and I'm not an electrician, so I would not recommend this in general. But I bought 5 100-watt solar panels, a ground mount station, which is basically a metal bracket to put it, you know, kind of into the ground and mount those panels angled as best you can towards the sun. And then you have to tie that into a battery system. And I built a battery system with a lead acid battery that's about this big, and a Renogy branded inverter, which is all great stuff. It all works, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I kind of made it work. I could see the solar power coming in, but I had no idea about voltages, if anything that I was doing was safe, and ultimately how to know what battery level the battery was at. It was a lot of fun to dabble in because at the time I had a push mower. I now have an Ego zero turn mower, but at the time I had a push mower and I was trying to recharge the batteries with solar. So I started playing around with that. And then my wife one day, I don't know how, came across an EcoFlow battery generator, portable generator. I believe at the time Costco was selling them. I think they still are. It's a great brand. They have tons of battery storage now, from small little batteries to larger boombox size to really large, almost like Powerwall size batteries. And looking at those, we ended up buying a Delta Pro. It was about a $3,000 tool at the time. The portable battery generator, essentially. And it had a lot of different outlets on it, USB-A and USB-C, and then some just normal household outlets. But it had 3.6 kilowatt hours of storage, and it was awesome. And I got that and I brought it home and had a smart, you know, an iPhone app, so you could actually look at your battery level. You could see how much solar power is coming in. So I connected that through the wall of our house to these 5 panels outside. And I really enjoyed that. I was always checking to see how much sun was coming in, how much solar we were getting, and it was a lot of fun. I remember one time, with solar, you're never generally gonna max out your panels. So if they're a 100-watt panel, you're not generally gonna max it out at 100. Sometimes you can, if the angle is just right and the sun is just right. Sometimes you can get a little bit more, actually. But when I was getting 350 to 450, 450 watts, I was pretty excited. And watching that and knowing that I could take that portable generator anywhere with me, camping or on a road trip, or God forbid we lose power, which happened all the time, you could take that and go charge it at your workplace. You could charge it at an EV charger. You could charge it with solar panels or even the adapter for your car. So there's a lot of ways to use it. It's a great tool, still is a great tool. If you're looking for a smaller portable battery power like that, I would look at EcoFlow. Then somehow, I talked my wife into going a little bit larger. I still don't remember how this happened. I kind of blacked out, I think, when she actually approved it. But my friends down in North Carolina were also very big into the electric lifestyle. In fact, they got me into it. And they had gotten Tesla solar panels and power walls installed at their house in North Carolina. They had down there, Tesla actually was the installer. Here in Michigan, Tesla does not install, but they have authorized installers. So they had gotten the whole comprehensive, you know, two power walls, solar panels on the roof, and a gateway, and loved it. Obviously, I was very jealous. It was a ton of money, though, a ton of money. But as we went, and I was talking to my wife about their story and how it was going and how nice it was and how the app worked, she kind of got into it, too. We started looking into options. So we had this company called the Green Panel. They're in Brighton, Michigan, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, both sides of the state. Great company. We went and checked them out. If you've ever seen solar companies, there are some that you probably should stay away from, some that are no longer around. But I had a good feeling about this when I did a little bit of research on them. When I called, the guy talked to me for probably 40 minutes on my first phone call. And that was a really good sign. And that actually helped a lot. And I think he knew that. But we went to their showroom, checked out some things, and then we got an estimate kind of going. So we could look at, okay, if we have a 1,500 square foot home and our electric bill was $65, $70 a month, what size could we get? And DTE, Detroit Electric or Detroit Edison, will let you get, you know, a certain size based on your electrical use. So we started looking at that, and they wrote it up, and a few days later he called me, and we did a 5,000 kilowatt array up on the roof, which in this case, I think there were 360 watt panels, so a lot bigger than the 100 watt ones I had. And then, so we did 14 panels, and then we were gonna do one power wall. And we looked at the price, and I asked, well, what would a second power wall be? My friends had done the same thing, because they found that once you get one, it's a lot cheaper to add on two or three, because you're the main infrastructure is already there. You're just adding on another battery. So we asked them what it would cost and what that would look like. And the final number, and I'll share the invoice here with you, was in the low 40s, $40,000. Adding the second power wall, I think, added $6,000 or $7,000, but the first one was like $10,000 or $12,000. It was a very large quote. Probably besides the house, it was probably our largest investment ever. I remember still walking our dogs, my wife and I, and talking about it. And when she kind of gave her sign off on it and the approval, and I was so happy and so excited we're going to get this. So we got in touch with the Green Panel, got things ordered, and then they came to do the install. And they were fantastic. Just 2 days. They showed up. They had nice black panels, 360 watt, a little bit larger than the 100 watt I had toyed around with. We had 12 of them put on the roof in three different arrays. The way our house is, being a ranch house, is very spread out. We had to do three small arrays. My friends in North Carolina were able to get away with one array just because the size of the roof was larger in the one place. The advantage to this, though, is that having them spread out, you're going to get different types of production. So our one roof might be tilted like this. Our other roof might be a little bit flatter. And depending on the sun and the time of day, you're going to get different production out of those. So it kind of balances out. But having three different arrays, they got all that done. We ended up doing conduit on top of the roof. I really wanted that inside so it wouldn't look so bad on the roof with a bunch of conduit running wires between the three arrays. But it was an additional cost to run in the inside. So after they were done with the installation, I just took a can of black spray paint up there and I just spray painted the conduit black just to help it blend in a little bit better. And I think it looks decent. But the second day they came and did the power walls, it took maybe half a day. They got us online. I got into the Tesla app and I started watching day after day for weeks and months, just seeing our production and how the numbers looked compared to how much the house is using and how much we were producing. So one difference I have in the solar system we put in here versus the one that my friends put in North Carolina, besides the fact that they had Tesla installers and I had a third party, called the Green Panel, install ours because there's Tesla doesn't install in Michigan. In fact, they don't install in the US anywhere anymore. It's all authorized installers, which are still great. We were very happy with the Green Panel. But one difference besides that is that, and I think it's actually a benefit, we have microinverters under all 14 of our panels. So my friends, with their solar system, they have one inverter that's located down by their power walls. And what that does, it takes all the electricity from the panels and converts it, you know, to be used by the home or the batteries. and that one inverter. The downside to that, having one inverter, is that if any of your panels become shaded or one becomes damaged or stops working, it can take the whole solar array down. Whereas having a micro inverter that's about this big underneath every panel on the roof, it actually, each panel works independently. In fact, in the gray box over there, there's a small module that works with an app that I have on my phone that it's not that exciting, but it lets you see every individual panel and what it's producing at the moment or over time. So you can actually, with the three solar arrays that I have on our house, I can actually see what the most productive solar array is and what the most productive and least productive panels are. So if I ever wanted to add on more panels, I might have a better idea of where I wanna put those to be the most productive. But if any part of my array is shaded, the non-shaded panels that are still in the sun are gonna be working 100%. So that's the nice thing about microinverters versus having just the one. However, the advantage on the other side of that is that by having one microinverter, if it goes bad, you can just replace that one as opposed to having, you know, a microinverter under every panel. Now let's talk about having solar in the Midwest. So we're up in Michigan. It's definitely not the Arctic, but to a lot of people in the US, we are very far north and in the Arctic. We do get a fair amount of snow and some cold temperatures. The nice thing about what we did here was we were able to put the power walls inside the house. So they're climate controlled. They stay at a steady temperature all the time. They have cooling in them if it does, you know, if there's a large load on them, or if we're in a storm watch mode and a storm is coming, it will actually pull from the grid and fill up very quickly. So they are cooled in that sense, but by having them inside, that does make them more efficient. If you have them on the outside of your house in heat or in extreme cold, it's gonna make them less efficient because they have to warm themselves or cool themselves. So we were lucky to be able to do this. So that was a big win. But having snow, so anytime it snows, there's a few ways you could handle that. If it's just a little bit, it's probably gonna melt off the next day. The sun's rays are gonna, you know, penetrate it and it's gonna start to warm up the panel. The cool thing about it is if your panels are steep enough, the snow may just fall right off. It may build up, and with a little bit of time and a little bit of warmth, it'll slide off and you'll just hear it come right off and land on the ground. I've also had it where it got very cold overnight after the snow and it froze. I decided to wait till the next morning to go scrape it off the panels, and it was rock hard and I couldn't clear it. So I just dug away what I could to kind of thin it down, try to get some sunlight in there, because once the sun hits any part of the panel and it starts to produce, it's going to warm up that area. And as that area warms up, it spreads and the snow is going to start to kind of melt and slide off. So they actually do a pretty good job of taking care of themselves. There are times though where you get a lot of snow where you might want to scrape it off, or, you know, if we're heading into a storm or a few dark days, or I just have the energy, get an inch or two of snow, I'll go out there and clear them off. And you don't even have to do that good of a job. You just get most of it. When the sun starts to shine down the next day or later that day, it's going to start to melt it and it's going to start to produce again. So that works well most of the time. Scraping them is not easy, but it's really not that hard either. I have a pole that I bought. It goes out to, I think, 24 or 30 feet, and a little foam brush on it that's just fairly protective of the panels, and you just scrape it off. If you just get most of it, that's going to work just fine, and that'll take care of it. It is definitely something I wish we didn't have to do, but it's just the cost of living up here and having the winter season, and for the most part, we like that, having snow. All right, guys, so now if we take a look at the Tesla app, if you are a solar customer, you're going to have a house in here. The house can actually appear a little bit different. So because we have two Tesla wall connectors for charging our EVs, it actually gives you a two-car garage. If my wife was home and plugged in right now, it would actually show that. And if I was plugged in for charging, it would show that as well, which is kind of cool. But you can see right now the solar coming down out of the panels on this roof here in the illustration, and it's showing 1.6 kilowatts, so about 1,600 watts coming in, and our house is using about 500. So what it's doing is it's giving the house the 500 or now 600 that it needs, and then because the power walls are full at 100%, the rest goes back to the grid. So right now we're sending about 1,100 watts back to the grid. So for today, I can go in here and I can tap, it shows 9.8 kilowatts of production, solar production. Right now I'm looking at the month, so this is our grid use for the month. So if I highlight over this, I can see today we use 3.6 kilowatts, so we've exported 7.3. I can go back and look at other months as well. You can also look at the daytime, so your day view. A little bit more interesting, if we go into the solar portion here, you can see that's our curve for the day. Nothing too exciting. The more zigzag you have, the more shade and things that are getting in the way of the panels. But you can go back, here's a better day. Again, this is February, so it's not the best time for solar, but it is actually starting to ramp up. We start to sell back in February, which is pretty incredible. But you can see that. If we go to month, you can see by month, so there's January, and you can see if we go back through last year, there's October. It starts to get better and better as we get in those summer months with the generation numbers and whatnot. May is actually our best month the last 2 years. But it's kind of neat. You can go through here. You can also see your Powerwall. So if we look at the months here, you can see how much of the Powerwall stored and how much of it was discharged and charged. You can see your car charging here, which we didn't have a Tesla EV at this time last year, so there was nothing. And then also kind of cool, you can see your home consumption. So month to month and day to day, you can click on this, or you can change it down to day. If I go to year, it's kind of neat. If we go to solar, this is 2025 so far. If we go back to 2024, you can see we did 4,373 kilowatt hours. And you can see May was our most productive month. That's just because of the angle of the sun here and the angle of our roof and the panels. And then you can go back to the previous year and see we produce a little bit more. You can also just go back to the house here and you can see how much you used and compare that to how much you did. And then it also shows you how much came from, how much the house used from the power wall and how much from solar and how much from the grid. So you can get a lot of data from the app. It's really nice. But I would say in general, most users probably just pay attention to this day to day here and there when you want to see how you're doing. And then lastly, another just stuff I want to go through, you can set your power walls for how much you want to store. So right now in winter, in our darkest months, I have about 50% set to always remain. So if we have an outage, I've got at least one of the two power walls, is full. And then in the summer, what I do is I usually adjust that to about 75% available. Sorry. So I lower it to about 25% is for backup, 75%, because we'll produce 2 to 3 times what we need through most of the summer months. So I have much more capability, much more chance that I'm going to overproduce. So I don't need to keep as much on reserve. And then you can just change your different settings and your different electrical rates. Another cool feature with Tesla is a StormWatch feature. And I usually always have this on. It just basically keeps an eye out. Anytime there's a storm warning, whether it's an ice storm, a wind storm, a thunderstorm warning, tornado warning, hurricane, it will actually start charging your power walls from the grid. Sometimes I've seen as high as 11,000 watts, and it will hurry to essentially fill up your power walls in case of a storm that's on its way, which is really cool, so that your power walls are as full as possible when the storm arrives, so you have backup power if you do lose power. Now lastly, I want to talk about numbers. We have 2 full calendar years to look at, so I nerded out a little bit, and the nice thing about the Tesla app is that it lets you export the data and look at it by month to month. So in the app, you can look at it by day, by week, by month, by year, but you can export that data into a spreadsheet, make any type of graph you want, and you can nerd out as much or as little as you want on this stuff. So I broke it down, looked at it over 2 years, and got to see kind of the cool, like the yellow and the sun, how much we sold back. So the green is how much we're selling back. The yellow is how much sunlight and sun production, solar production we're getting. And the gray is how much of the grid power we're using. So I just kept it basic, those three things. I wanted to see, you know, overall just what it looked like across 2 full calendar years. So looking at the numbers, you can see in 2023 versus 2024, our solar production was 4,464 kilowatt hours versus in 2024, 4,373. So slightly less. That could be a bazillion things. That could be, you know, a few more cloudy days. That could be a few days where there was snow on the panels and I didn't clear it. Or that could just be different weather patterns and different amount of sun. It's hard to say. You also have a small drop in efficiency in the panels year over year. I think in average, they say about a 1% drop in efficiency every year, but I think it does settle after a little bit. our home power consumption is also higher. So you'll see we went from 4,200 kilowatt hours to 4,500 kilowatt hours. And then we sold back the first year, we actually sold back a little bit more. In 2024, we sold back 746 kilowatt hours. Now, where I live in Michigan, our power company doesn't necessarily give you a one-for-one credit. So it depends on where you live and what your power company does and what your state does. But here, we get generally about a half credit. But it depends on what power and time of day plan you're on. And if you're on a time of day plan, when you sell that power back. So if I'm on a time of day plan where power is a premium from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., generally, the power companies will give you a higher rate when you sell them your excess energy. And the way that the system works is the solar comes in, it's going to feed the house first. Whatever the house needs, it's going to give. If there's not enough, the grid will supplement or the battery will supplement. Once you have more, the batteries are where they're supposed to be. If you want them at 100%, they're full. Okay, the house is, you know, happy, it's getting what it needs. Then you sell back to the grid. So depending on your power company, some get a one for one. So if you buy, you know, 5 kilowatts in one day, but you're able to sell back 5, you kind of break even. It depends a lot on your company and what that's like. So I'd encourage you to look locally. You can see for 2023 versus 2024, we were 75% self-powered in 2023 and 70% in 2024. All that means is that we produce enough energy to consider ourselves self-powered, kind of off the grid, 75% of the time and 70% of the time more recently in 2024. The solar offset, the number above that, is your total production versus total consumption. So in 2023, we produced more than we used, but because there's different times of the year where you're gonna produce a ton more than you need and sell it back, and then there's like winter where you produce a lot less than you need and you need grid during the winter because you just generally have darker days and shorter days, it doesn't, you know, always even out. So even though we produced more in 2023 than what we used, we didn't always have it available at that moment when we needed it. But in general, 75%. Now the power walls make a huge difference. If you get solar, you have to get battery storage. It is a big expense, but if you just have solar panels, they're only supplementing the house at that very instant the sun is doing whatever it's doing with your production. So if you're getting 500 watts, your house is getting 500 watts for free. That's great. But then when the sun goes down or a cloud goes in front of it or a tree shades your panels, you're getting nothing. And that's where batteries come in. Batteries can hold onto that energy for the evening or for when the sun is or a tree is shading your panels or you get a cloudy day, you can run off battery power and it's huge. So you can see here, in 2023, there was 75% self-powered. 40% of that, 41% of that was solar, but look at this, 34% was from the power wall, which was stored solar power. So we had 75% from solar and power wall, sun and battery storage essentially working towards powering us by ourselves. 25% that year was from the grid. To me, that's a win. That's a huge thing. Like, I'm not here to get to the point where, at what year does this pay for itself? Is it 20 years? Is it 30 years? Is it 40 years? And that's a great number to know and kind of look at and see how you're doing. But to us, it was about clean energy. It was about saving some money on the bill, making the bill lower. And most importantly, in my opinion, for me personally, it was about being independent and not having to rely on the energy company, their rate increases that are always going up, and you know, anything else. I just wanted to have more power independence, some backup protection, and be able to kind of produce in an outage if we need to. So that's what our motivation was. Yours may be different. It could be clean energy. It could be the fact that you just want to have power outage protection and have battery storage and have them full all the time, or just try to lower your bill. Whatever it is, these are all great features and benefits of solar, and there's really no wrong answer in that regard. The last thing I'll point out is just the total number of outages. So you can see in 2023, 29 outages and 17 in 2024. That's my dog running upstairs. Total outage time in both those years was 2 days. I remember the one year we were in Europe traveling. We had some friends watching our dogs for us and they were here for a week or a week and a half while we were on a trip. And they lost power for 2 days. 2 days in July with, well, we had AC luckily because we have mini splits, so they're very efficient. we were able to, in July, which is not our peak solar month, but it's a good month, run the house, run the mini split air conditioners, and they could live in the house just like normal. The power walls never drop below 65%. And we completely just ran off the solar and the batteries for that 2 days. And I could monitor it in the Tesla app while I was away, which is awesome. It was awesome to see. So that was a great experience. Another good reason why we were so happy we bought this. Ultimately, it's going to be up to you what your motivation is, what tax incentives do you have, things like that. Okay, so now the worst part, the price. We ended up spending $41,000 on this entire comprehensive solar system between the 14 panels on the roof that we're very happy with aesthetically, the insulation work, and the two power walls that we did instead of just the one. Tax and everything, plus some miscellaneous electrical work we had to do, brought it to $41,000. However, like I shared before, there's federal tax incentives as of February of 2025 that still exist. And that is 30% off solar installations. That includes batteries. So the following year on our taxes, we did get the full 30% back in our taxes. Now, how that works is going to be different for everybody. Obviously, consult a tax advisor. But we did get the full $12,000 or $13,000 back, which brought the cost down to about $30,000. Still a lot of money. But if you consider that these are warrantied for 10 years just for normal use and that they'll have at least 70% capacity, but their expected life is 20, 25 years, potentially even more. I know with Tesla's batteries and cars, the battery degradation numbers are coming back way better than expected. So the overall health of the battery and the capacity it holds over time is looking so far much better than expected. So I'm hoping that these, which are in a neutral climate zone here and remain the same temperature all day, they have a good cooling system in them, hopefully will last us 20 to 30 years. So there is a long-term kind of aspect to all of this. So you have to balance that cost, other local incentives you may have in your state or in your local jurisdiction. Those do exist as well and can be actually pretty large. But look at different brands. There's a lot of different brands now besides just Tesla. In fact, Tesla got rid of their installations. So Tesla no longer offers Tesla teams to come and install in your house. But there's authorized installers all over the country. If you go to their website, Tesla's website, you can look. You can actually get an estimate right on their site, and then they'll have someone contact you and reach out. So that's ultimately what we did. Overall, we're very, very happy. You know, the cost up front is big. Hopefully you can get that back with some incentives, some of it back with incentives. But overall, we're really happy with the panels, the production we're seeing, and the overall, the battery storage and how smart of a storage system that is with Tesla, the numbers that we can look at, the power outage coverage that we've had, and just being more independent and being able to reduce our electric bill, rely less on the grid, do a little bit of our part for the clean energy, but also save some money and protect ourselves in an outage. That's really what our motivation is. You have to decide what yours is and if this is the right solution for you. Now, obviously, $41,000 or $30,000 after our tax incentive came through is a ton of money. And some people say, well, why not just do a generator? And I've looked at generators. My dad also looked at a generator. Depending on whether you're in a natural gas situation or a propane situation, I think whole home generators can be great. They're a great alternative and they are less money. The downside, in my opinion, is a generator just sits there. It gets installed, it's tapped into either a propane tank if you're out in a more rural situation or the natural gas system, you know, in your town and city and state. The downside is it just sits there. It needs to run most likely weekly to maintain itself and to do a self-test. It needs supposedly annual, I don't think many people do it, but annual maintenance on it, which is another cost. And if you're not using it, it's just sitting there doing nothing for you. Whereas this system has a higher upfront cost, but over time it's going to give you some lower energy bills, potentially depending on your situation, some credits, some good credits as you sell back, and also just power outage protection and the ability to produce your own power ongoing in a really extended power outage. Whereas a generator from day one is essentially just rotting away and not being used until you have an outage. And when you do have an outage, it's going to cost you even more to run that generator than it would your normal electrical or heat source. So just something to think about in, between the two. Solar with a higher upfront cost, generator lower upfront cost, but you're not going to get anything back for it after that. Overall, I hope that this video has helped give you a little bit more visual into a normal everyday American family in a 1500 square foot home living in the Midwest, the cold, great North Midwest here in Michigan. What it's like to have solar panels, not only in the Midwest, but just in general in the United States, to have Tesla's power walls, whether it's these, you decide to go with another brand, and what it's like to have it overall, some numbers, some actual costs, to give you a better idea if this is something you're looking into. So thanks for watching and enjoy the rest of your day.